Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560 with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our lines are open. If you want to talk about anything in the outdoors, 303-477-5600. Again, check out our website, Sportsman, and that's Sportsman with an M-A-N, of Colorado.com. Well, we want to thank all of our sponsors. Try to get Dan Johnson. They must be busy over at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. I was just over there this week with my partner, Red Merrill, that's usually on the show with us, and Red had some extra plowing to do this morning out at his place in Sedalia, but Red just picked him up a new 2016 Silverado, again, ranging anywhere from about $10,000 to $13,000 off of these Silverados they're clearing out over at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. So I want to thank Dan for the sponsorship they give us, and also Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. And I tell you, this is a great, great place, and love their tagline. We believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. And Nancy and all the doctors over there, just a great team of people. And if you're looking for a good place to take care of your animals, maybe you need to do some boarding while you're gone over the holidays, give them a call at 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. Well, on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about some family hunting with a couple of good friends of mine. And then a little bit later in the show, Austin Parr is going to join us from Discount Fishing and talk a little ice fishing. And today is a good day for that, I would assume. But looking forward to having Austin on as well. But glad to have in studio truly a hunting family. It starts out with Henry Ferguson. How are you, sir?
Good, Scott. How are you?
Good, man. Great to see you again. And glad you brought your wife, Stacy, in. So, Stacy, it's nice to meet you as well.
Nice to meet you, too.
And a little man over there, Kyle. How are you doing, bud?
Good.
Good. Good to see you. All right. Henry's been on with us one time before, and we're even looking at some other things to do in 2017, a little bit more with Henry, because great hunter, good outdoorsman, and does a lot in the archery area, and we want to build that a little bit more with our good friends over at No Limits Archery and Phil Mendoza as well. But really a lot we wanted to talk about today was your hunt, Stacy. And, boy, congratulations, I tell you, when I saw the video online. And, Henry, you said it got how many hits?
It's close to 60,000 views.
Wow.
Which just kind of blows me away, because I just recorded it to be able to share with family and friends. And
a few of your 60,000 closest friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's cool. So let's back up a little bit. First of all, like, when you guys met and all, did you, Stacy, realize Henry was the big hunter that he is?
I knew he was a hunter and he was okay. An archer, but not to the extent that he is now.
Yeah, I hear that from a lot of wives. Yeah,
that's
actually mine.
That's called bait and switch. It worked out real well for me.
No kidding. So have you always been one that wanted to get out and do hunting with him, or did it take a while to you to warm up to that?
It took a while. I grew up in a family that wasn't hunting and fishing. We would fish with my grandpa a couple times a year, but that was really it. So.
Okay. So let's talk about this hunt. So set it up, and then we'll let Stacy tell the story, whatever. But Henry, set it up for us.
He's the storyteller.
So Stacy got lucky and drew a third season tag this year. And it's a unit that we hunt quite a bit. We've spent a lot of time out there. And so we've had a lot of preseason scouting done, had a couple of good bucks picked out. And we put in a whole bunch of work leading up to it, not just in scouting, but getting her familiar with the gun, because this was her first rifle hunt. Now, she did she's had three deer tags. Okay. And just being the show off that she is, this is her second big 4-point buck that she's taken. First one was actually with a bow. And these are all public land hunts. That's all we do. We just kind of hang out on public land and go give it the best we can and try to get lucky. But we spent a lot of time getting her familiar with the gun and put a lot of rounds down range, and, you know, those 200, 300 yard shots, laying down prone, getting the backpack set up for a rest, so she'd be ready for what we expected to find in the field. And then, as it turns out, that wasn't even close to how it turned out. It wasn't how it came out.
Most of the time it happens that way. It's nothing like what you thought would happen. And I think that's where a lot of people mess up, whether it be in rifle or archery. You know, you stand there at a range, you stand there in a perfect shooting position, shooting, and you can hit the target.
Yep.
You don't get too many shots like that in the field.
Let's see. With a bow, my next shot I get standing up with my feet parallel to the target will probably be my first.
And on level ground.
Yeah, exactly. It just doesn't happen. It's right. Just not how it happens. But, yeah, we had her all prepared for that shot. And, you know, when it came down to it, that was not even remotely how it was. But, yeah, we got out there early in the morning. Kyle's a kid that's hard to wake up at 7 to go to school. But, man, when it comes to hunting, he'll dive out of bed at 4 and be all ready to go. So we got hiking up the hill and spotted a couple of bucks just right down below us right at first light. And one of them was one that we've been watching and decided he was a good buck, but next year he could be a really special buck. So she decided, yeah, we'll go ahead and pass on that one. But we didn't have a lot of time to hunt. I mean, right. You know, she's going to school, working. You know, she's kind of raising a kid and stuff, you know, while I play. And then Kyle had football practice and actually had a playoff game that night on Saturday night. So it just kind of worked out real, real well. But we passed that first buck and got up. And the funny thing was we spotted an elk up on the ridge. Didn't have an elk tag, but we went in and wanted to see how close we could get to the elk. So Kyle and I were down a little lower on the ridge, and as it turns out, this bull took off out from under us at about 30 yards and just blew up the oak brush. I mean, just tore his way through there. And as I'm watching him run away, Kyle says, "Hey, Dad, well, what about that deer?" I hadn't even seen it yet. So through all the commotion of this buck or this bull running off, a buck stands up, and that's where things got pretty interesting. So, yeah, he stood there, and it took about a...
So you were separated from Stacy at that point?
We were probably 40, 50 yards away from each other at that point.
So and you were in a tree stand, or just a blind, or just...
We were just spot and stock, okay, spot so...
And stock. Yep, all spot and stock, and got the buck in the binoculars, and it took me about a second to say, oh, that's what we're looking for. So yeah, we got a real good look at him, and he was facing straight on when we got the pack set up and had her laying right on the ridge, pointing downhill about 100 and I think he was about 125 yards away at that point. So we're thinking, oh man, this is a slam dunk. This is going to happen. And as it turned out, he just stayed facing straight on, and you know, to her credit, she said, you know, I'm just not comfortable with this shot angle. So
didn't want to ruin meat.
Yeah. So. And so, I mean, we waited for him and waited for him and waited for him. And probably about a half hour later, he just disappeared in the oak brush. I'm like, oh man. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So as it turns out, there was just a little rise between us, and I looked over and I thought, oh man, he is, I don't know if he took off. I don't know if he bedded down. And so we sat there for a few minutes waiting for something to happen, and finally went back up the top of the ridge and scooted around and came back out on the next little finger ridge. And we're just a little ways down there, and I spotted the antler sticking up out of the oak brush. And he was bedded down, and so we sat down and waited for another half hour. And finally stood up, and I'll let Stacy take it from there. But...
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't know, most guys, I mean, man, the heart starts pounding, mm-hmm. You start getting nervous, you know, what were you feeling, pretty calm, or were you feeling pretty nervous?
Well, it was a little of both. I mean, with the archery, we had done lots of tournaments and stuff, and so I had practiced on 3D animals, so,
right.
You know, like when I shot my archery deer, aiming at it, you know, everyone's like talks about buck fever and how you get that and you miss the shot and stuff. But I just kept telling myself, it's just like the 3D animals. It's just like the 3D animals. And
sure,
you know, so it wasn't as bad. But.
Right. So, and you were shooting what rifle?
She was shot a 250 Savage.
250 Savage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard to find bullets for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So my stepdad, Bevan, gave us that gun, and it's a great, great gun. I mean, just perfect for her because there's very, very little recoil.
Sure. And, I like having this whole family dynamic because there's a lot into this. If you would have handed her a 300 Weatherby mag, I mean, you know what I mean? It's that kind of takes the fun out of it.
Absolutely.
You know? Another tag I had was a muzzle loader, and I hated shooting that thing. And so I told Henry, I said, I am not taking a shot unless I am 100% sure that I will kill something.
Right.
Because I don't want to take more shots than I had to with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, our number is 303-477-5600. We have the Ferguson family in studio, Henry, Stacy, and Kyle, and we're going to be talking with them a little more about their hunt, as well as Austin Parr will join us after our next segment and talk a little ice fishing, and we'll have some questions about that. And again, if you have any questions about hunting, you got a story to tell, anything you want to talk about in the outdoors, we will take your call at 303-477-5600. A quick programming note, International Sportsman's Expo coming up January 12th through the 15th. We will be there. Once again, we will be taking care of their adventure theater there and introducing all the speakers for that and have a lot of great seminars. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be getting some of those folks on talking about those seminars. So we will start off today's show. If you'd like a pair of tickets for that, give us a call, 303-477-5600. We'll be right back.
Have you been in a car wreck? Hurt by the fault of another? Is the insurance company frustrating you? Hi, I'm Kevin Flesh, and my firm, Flesh Law, can help you. Please call me at 303-806-8886. Flesh Law has been helping those affected by accidents for over 20 years. Flesh Law has the experience to help you. We offer a free consultation, and we only get paid when you get your money. Flesh Law will do everything we can to maximize your claim. Find us on the web at Flesh Law Firm, that's FLESCH lawfirm.com, or call us 303-806-8886. I'm Kevin Flesh, and I'll help you get the compensation you deserve. Stop worrying and let us fight for you.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. If you're looking for a genuine hunting, professional outfitting, high quality game, and great food and accommodations, I highly recommend New Zealand Safaris. Come and meet Jim Gibson at the 2017 International Sportsman's Expo, January 12th through the 15th. New Zealand Safaris booth is number 2946, and Jim would love to see you there. Check out their website, NewZealandSafaris.com. Again, that's NewZealandSafaris.com.
It's truck month again at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. We're the number one truck dealer in Colorado. Hi, I'm Dan Johnson. We're overstocked with trucks and giving discounts and rebates up to $10,000 off Silverados. Hurry, these offers won't last. LynnLyleChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Dana Lash, late nights at 10 on KLZ 560 and 100.7 FM. KLZ, the source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley. Again, our lines are open, 303-477-5600. Let's go to Tony. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing great, Scott. Thank you.
Good.
How
thanks
are you today?
We're doing great, bud. A little chilly out there, but making it all right. How can we help you today?
Well, I just wanted to thank everyone for coming down to the Tanner Gun Show today. I'm here selling hats for hunting.
Well,
things are going great.
Well, good. And Tony, I stopped by Tony's booth today, and I actually meant to bring the hats in studio to show my guest here today, but I'll have to show him after the show. But I stopped by this booth. Now, listen, if you're going to get out the International Sportsman's Expo, the Tanner Gun Show today.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, go out there. Traffic is down a little bit, so you can make your way out there. And if you'll go see Tony over there, I'll tell you, these are some really cool, warm hats that he has. And why don't you tell a little bit that goes into making them?
Oh, we make them at a knitting factory in Longmont, Scott, and you're going to love these hats. They're warm and breathable. They come with a visor and a collar that will flip up. You can cinch them down with a draw cord. They also hold your sunglasses, and when you flip the visor up, it protects your sunglasses and keeps them in place.
Yeah.
You're going to love them.
No, they are very, very cool and range anywhere from about $30 to $60, and there's a couple of different models there. But I'm telling you, if you'll go by and see Tony, can we do like – $5 off a hat if they come by and mention the show?
We certainly can. And I've got all kinds of extra goodies to go with the hat. I can't wait to show people and tell people about them.
All right, because I know your margins aren't huge on there, and I want you to make some money. So go by and help a guy that's really trying to do something fun that he likes to do. And I'm telling you, these are really good, warm hats and several different colors. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to putting mine to use out there, Tony. So thanks very much, bud, and we'll hook up again soon.
All right, great. Take care out
all
there.
All right, thank you so much. And again, they will be at the Tanner Gun Show today. I think that opened till 5, and then tomorrow also till 5. Let's go to the phones. We also got Bill on the line in Lakewood. Bill, how are you? Bill, you with us? 1, 2, 3, 4, Bill, you still there? All right, Mindy, let's see if we can reconnect him or maybe call him back there. Now, again, the International Sportsman's Expo, again, that's January 12th through the 15th. Looks like no one's called yet for those free pair of tickets. We'll get them to you. All you have to do is call 303-477-5600. So, Kyle, let's bring you into this. Don't want you to go to sleep on me over there, okay? All right, so lean up there by the microphone, all right? So, you like to hunt, too?
Yeah.
You do? What's your favorite?
Probably hunting deer.
Hunting deer? Yeah. What makes that fun for you?
I just like it because my dad likes it a lot. I like to go with him.
Yeah. Those are great memories, man. I promise you. My dad is actually listening to the show. He calls in from Dallas. And when you grow up and getting to hunt like that, again, those are lifetime memories that you will have with you forever, getting to hunt with your dad and do that. So, man, cherish those times, both of you, because they're
boy, sure do.
They're good. They are absolutely good. So, Stacy, as well, you got into the archery side of things too. And so, what are your other girlfriends, lady friends that y'all associate with? What do most of them think about that? Because are all of them into the hunting aspect and shooting too?
No, yeah. Not at all. I don't know what they think. I don't know. Yeah. We don't really talk about it.
Right.
But.
So let's talk about the bow you like. What do you like, and what kind of bow you set up?
Well, I haven't shot a bow in a while. I shot when we were first married. I had a bow and shot a lot, and I shot through Royal Archery, which is no longer in business. Mm-hmm. We were shop shooters for them and stuff, and shot many tournaments and stuff. But the next, I got pregnant with Kyle, and just never really got back to it because being a mom, I didn't feel like I should pawn my kid off on somebody so I could go do tournaments and hunt. So
All right, looks like we got Bill connected back there. Bill, how are you, sir?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, whatever. I could hear you guys. Hey, this is just a what if type question. Or I don't even know how. What do you think's going to happen with the price of guns now that we got a pro gun president coming up? Because like the stock market, Smith and Wesson. Last week, I'm trying to look what it's doing right now. It really dropped drastically.
Yeah.
You know, and the stores have had nothing but a field day, you know, charging above retail and the whole thing.
Oh, no. I mean, trust me, it would have been a huge windfall for them had the election gone in a different direction.
Right. Well, I would have packed up and left.
Yeah, me too. But, man, as you are, well, I am thrilled the way that it did go. I think you'll see this. I mean, all the and ammo and all the things that we were having trouble getting there for so long has pretty much come back in stock. So I think we definitely won't be running into those issues again. Henry, what do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, Scott. I mean, it did create kind of a run on ammo. I mean, mm-hmm. I was just messaging
but
with
I really
a friend
didn't have
this
no
morning
trouble.
About that.
I ordered from Midway, and I had no trouble at all, really. Some stuff, I had to wait a little bit. But, I mean, I got tons sitting right next to tons.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Yeah, and like I say, I think,
I'm looking at Smith & Wesson right now, and it's bouncing back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
stock-wise, you know.
Right.
But it dropped drastically.
Yeah.
Especially Ruger. Ruger's as consistent as can be stock market wise.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're a real good stock to buy. I mean, they put a lot back to the stockholders.
Yeah, sure. And hopefully it'll help out, you know, with everybody being able to afford to buy some more guns. Will be good.
I know I bought the XDS when it first came out, and a friend of mine, he liked it so much, he bought one maybe a month or two after I did. He paid $200 or $300 less.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, thanks for listening to the show, and sure. We appreciate the call, sir.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. Let's go to our good buddy Wynn with Colorado Outdoor Sports. You hear their ads each week on here, and there's a place, hey, you're looking for a place to hunt. Getting harder and harder to find, and Colorado Outdoor Sports can help you. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing awesome. 25 pieces of private property. We're doing great, enjoying the family hunting, getting the kids out there, and wanted to call in and offer up a special. We're knocking $100 off the initiation for mentioning the show.
Okay, so fill us in on the whole program. So the initiation is normally how much?
$495 and a $948 a year in dues, payable monthly, quarterly, biannually, or annually. Each bigger payment gets you up to 1 month off.
Okay. And then the way that you set up your hunts, they go online and reserve a certain area?
That's absolutely correct, Scott. We use an online reservation system. You don't have to call in or anything like that. You can do it all yourself in about less than 1 minute. You can reserve a piece of property.
Okay, and that's Colorado Outdoor Sports. And give us the phone number, Wynn.
303-460-0273. You can also find us at ColoradoOutdoorSports.com. And you can also find us on Facebook and see lots and lots of success stories.
All right, so it's normally $495 for the initiation. He'll knock $100 off of that if you'll give him a call today. Let's make that $395, and I'm telling you, we've seen a lot of these properties. We've hunted a few with Wynn, and he does have some excellent, excellent properties. So give him a call at 303-460-0273. And Wynn, I've got another good buddy here, Henry Ferguson. Henry's a big hunter out there. So let's take a minute, and let's just talk about this predator deal with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. What is your thoughts?
This is a valid study that really, really needs to be done and understood. And I, you know, as you and I have commented before, you know, sometimes it's hard just to get hunters to get behind, you know, managing predators. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to manage every one of our species. I mean, what the heck are we doing with seagulls in Colorado? Right?
Right.
I mean, I know that's an extreme, but it's a truth, you know. Every species needs to be managed in every way, shape, or form. And the biologists need to be the ones to make those decisions, not us even though, you know, some of us think we're educated enough to make those decisions.
Right. And, you know, I did a quick interview with Fox 31 right after this came down, and the gentleman asked me there, he said, well, you keep mentioning about the research and all the things the biologists have done. He said, just forget that. And he said, don't you think some of this overcrowding, I mean, with the animals could have come from overcrowding from humans and all that? And I just told him, I said, look, I can't answer that question. He said, why? I said, because you're asking me to forget research. I said, so,
exactly,
you know, it doesn't
exactly
really
correct.
Help us at all. Henry, your thoughts? I mean, you've been talking to a lot of people about this as well.
I sure have. You know, and I think I got to agree with your friend there. Any action that we take is going to be positive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I've been on a few mountain lion hunts with my friend Patrick. He got some dogs, and we go out and run them around a bit. And I'll tell you, it's amazing to see how effective a predator they really are. And there does need to be more done to reduce that population, just to keep it in check. I mean, the fact is, deer and elk are what drive the dollars for the parks and wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to do all we can to preserve those dollars. And selfishly, I'd love to see more deer and elk out there. I mean, that's what I enjoy hunting. And I think any step that they take is going to be a positive step.
Yep. And talking to Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Colorado Outfitters Association, Colorado Trappers and Predators, Hunter Association, Mule Deer Foundation, Rocky Mountain Bighorn Society, the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, all of these groups are in line with this and are for this as well. So we're going to be talking more about this. Bob Brochat will be joining us in the upcoming weeks, the director for Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and we'll be glad to take your calls at that time on the same subject. But again, it is something out there, and I think anybody that's hunted deer at all has certainly seen the decline in mule deer, Henry.
Yeah. You know, there has been some decline. I guess the areas that I've hunted haven't been hit quite as badly as some of them over on the western slope. But, yeah, I just think we need to do all we can to preserve that. I want Kyle to be able to have the opportunities when he turns 12 here in a couple of years to be able to go out and have as good a quality of hunt as we do today.
Sure, sure. Now, Wynn, you'll be at the International Sportsman's Expo as well. We just talked about that in our first segment, January 12th through the 15th. And so you'll have a booth there as well, right, sir?
That is correct. I'll have a booth, and we'll be offering a show special there as well.
All right, good deal. We'll give Wynn a call at Colorado Outdoor Sports. Again, that number is 303-460-0273. Thanks for calling in, Wynn.
Looking forward to hearing the rest of Stacy's story.
All right. Yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute. All right. We appreciate it. All right. Again, that is Wynn, and he is with Colorado Outdoor Sports. So basically, this offers you a lot of places to go, some within 45 minutes of Denver, but a lot of different properties that you can go and hunt, fish, turkey, deer, whole nine yards. We both do our hog hunting, a lot of that down in Texas with our good friend Alan Schaffner at Lone Star Hunts. But Wynn has some great properties. So, again, save $100 on that initiation fee by giving him a call today at 303-460-0273. This is Sportsman of Colorado. We'll be right back.
What if it was possible to train your body how to burn excess fat through natural homeopathic means? Dr. Julie Marchial uses a time-tested protocol to unlock unnecessary fat stores in your body, converting fat into energy so you can experience permanent weight loss. Because this remarkable method targets only your bad fat, leaving vital stores of necessary fat untouched, your body will begin to experience balance in a new and healthier way. As Dr. Julie leads you through her unique weight loss program, your brain will gradually relearn what it means to feel full and to feel hungry. You will find many of your old cravings simply disappear. Call Dr. Julie at Ascent Health Center today to find out how KLZ hosts John Rush, Scott Watley, and Dan Muir put their bodies to work for them with unbelievable results. Call 303-343-8800. That's 303-343-8800. Or go to AscentHealthCenter.com.
Did you know that about 46% of U.S. households have a dog and 39% have a cat? Studies show that 90% of people treat pets as family members. That's why I chose Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. This is Scott Watley. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, surgical care, or grooming, the team at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has you covered. And with the holidays approaching, I highly recommend their boarding services. Hey, our golden retriever, Roxy Watley, loves it there. Call 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. Or visit LoneTreeVet.com. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is an official registered company of HaystackHelp.com and an A-plus Gold Star member of the Better Business Bureau.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store. Family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 67 in Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
In-depth discovery on the issues that matter most. Midday Matters with Steve Curtis. Weekdays at 11 on The Source, KLZ 560 AM and 100.7 FM.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. Again, we want to thank all of our sponsors and just want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas and a safe Christmas season. And Lynn Lyle Chevrolet is our sponsor today, as well as Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Again, this is a state-of-the-art 16,000-square-foot facility at Lone Tree. And I tell you, one thing I've always appreciated of them, after doing business there over 11 years, is how they really treat your pet like they would their own. And just great, great people there. So again, if you're looking for a great veterinary medical center, highly recommend Lone Tree. That's 303-708-8050. We're going to be talking to Austin Parr here in just a moment on some ice fishing, but let's go to our winner line here and talk to Brad for some tickets to the ISE. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great, bud. So what all you like to do out there in the outdoors? You a hunter, fisherman, a little of both?
I'm a hunter starting when I was in my early 30s.
Okay.
Thank you to your guest there, Henry Ferguson. I actually was available to help Stacy with packing that deer out, and so what happens here with the rest of her story.
Oh, well, Henry brought me a real nice Christmas card with a photo, and he just told me you are the one to be credited with that great photo.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Well, cool. Well, good deal, bud. Well, listen, Mindy will get your phone number from you, and I'll call you right after the show, and then I'll get these tickets to you, and we'll get you a pair of those to come to the ISE show.
Awesome. Thanks so
All
much.
All right, bud. We appreciate Thanks, that. All right. That's good deal. Austin Parr, Discount Fishing. How are you, sir?
Doing excellent, Scott. How are you guys?
Hey, man. No better day to talk about ice fishing than when it's about 1 degree out there. So
a little chilly out there today.
Really? Austin Parr, again, he is our fishing expert over at Discount Fishing. You can reach Austin at 303-514-5546. Does a lot around the Cherry Creek, Chatfield, a lot of guidings and all that, and ice fishing, and he can help you there. So let's start out with this a little bit. All right, you go to, because I'm trying to understand the concept of this, to go out there. Hunters, I know probably fishermen don't understand hunters, but Henry and I were talking a little bit before this. Man, he said he did it one time, didn't catch any fish, and hadn't done it since. So how do you go out to a lake and pick your spot? I mean, do you do scouting like we do in hunting? I mean, how do you know where to go on a big lake?
Well, you know, it kind of all depends upon what species you're looking to target. You know, early ice is one of your best times to target pretty much every species underneath the ice. You know, if you're talking about trout up in the high country, looking to try and find a lane for them to travel on, for instance, like an edge of a river channel or especially an edge of a weed line, you know, they'll get up on the edge of those flats and you can kind of hit them as they're moving along, I guess you could say a highway. Now, if you're talking about more structure-oriented fish, that's where a little bit more scouting comes in. So if you're talking about your walleyes or your smallmouth on Chatfield or walleyes on Cherry Creek, you're going to wind up looking to, you know, really utilize a lot of your open water techniques to find these fish, find your structure points, find your rock piles, and then go out with some GPS and be able to locate those and poke a couple holes in and around on the ice.
Right. Now, I guess the first thing we ought to talk about is ice safety. Because I can't imagine there anything that would ruin a trip any quicker than, oops, hear some crackling and then a crash. So how do you go
this time of year?
Yeah, so how do you go about understanding, you know, the ice and knowing the depth there?
Well, the biggest thing is to, you know, be calling up people that know better than you. For instance, give us a call down here at the shop, or, you know, call up a general store somewhere close to wherever you're going. Currently, right now, I would definitely be very leery about on any kind of metro ice. And one of the biggest issues you can start having, so, you know, you can have some ice form, but the problem with a big snowstorm like this is you can have a little extra weight on the ice and you can't really tell and you can't visually see what's good and what's bad. And, you know, I'm personally looking for a good solid 4 inches of ice.
Yeah, I'm looking for about a foot. I'm looking for about a 12-inch slab.
I mean, 4 inches is definitely safety trigger, right? But, I mean, incorporating a couple of safety tools, for one, I always have a spud bar with me so I can walk out, kind of beat on the ice, make sure that you're good and solid as you move out. But, two, having a life jacket, having ice picks to get you back out, and going with someone with a rope is also very, very crucial, and I always am having all that just in case something were to happen. I mean, you know, that's the biggest problem. I mean, that's in all of fishing. Ice fishing can be some of the most dangerous. So, you know, but if you do it right, it's definitely safe. But if you do it wrong, it can certainly turn sour pretty quickly.
Yeah, so if there's anything in our area of the outdoors I would recommend doing with a guide, Henry, I think ice fishing might be it.
Well, no argument here.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Austin Parr is our guest, Discount Fishing. Again, this is a great store right over off Santa Fe. You can go there and see Austin in person. But, boy, The outside of the store will fool you. It doesn't look all that large from the outside, and when you get in there, they have everything in the world you need from anything to do with fishing, and that's at Discount Fishing. And again, you can call Austin if you want to book a trip with him, 303-514-5546. So now, Austin, what are some of the signs? Are there signs above the ice that you noticed that might help to know where fish are, whether there's fish down there or not? I mean,
well, you can utilize some, depends upon what lake you're talking about. Once again, so, you know, if you're up in the mountains and you're fishing a lake that has been filled up in, say, a canyon, you know, you're talking like a Wolford Mountain or a Granby or something like that, you can certainly use shoreline clues to wind up pointing you in the right direction. For instance, you could use, you know, if you're looking for a big flat, having a flat that's going to kind of extend on out up onto a shoreline certainly can wind up showing you where that is, and also points and drop-offs also can be indicated by shorelines. So, you know, a lot of times you're going to be looking for something that's going to wind up congregating a lot of fish. Points certainly wind up doing that, especially if you're targeting something like a lake trout. But going out there and utilizing that shoreline point, going out, you're going to have a shallower spot up on top with deeper water on each end, and that's where I'll kind of look for something like that. But a lot of these metro lakes down here, they used to be gravel pits. You know, you're talking about Cherry Creek and Chatfield in particular. Both of those have a lot of shoreline, or, you know, the shoreline structure doesn't necessarily indicate what is the best fishing location. So, you know, having a good knowledge of that and where those drop-offs are from the open water, certainly it's beneficial. But a lot of ice fishermen in the state certainly wind up targeting the mountain ice, and you can definitely wind up utilizing your shoreline contours when you're in a situation like that.
Right. So what's it going to cost a person to kind of get that initial equipment that they must have to get into ice fishing? What are you looking at?
So if you're going to be talking about, you know, having a hand auger and a couple of rods, you're going to be in the $150 kind of range. And if you jump up just a little bit more than that, you can get a nice shelter and a heater. So, you know, if you're it's interesting. So, you know, a lot of the fishing, you know, if you really want to really get into it, it's going to wind up costing you a little bit more. But if under $300 can certainly wind up getting you very outfitted and really get you going in the right direction with your equipment.
Hey, Austin, it's Henry here. I've got a quick question for you. I've never understood how you can have a heater on top of a block of ice and not fall through. Help me out here. It's something I've always wondered about.
Well, I mean, a lot of times, anytime I'm setting up my shelter, you're winding up typically setting up a heater unless I'm just strictly looking for a windbreak. But it'll melt the ice just a touch on the top, but, I mean, not significantly at all. But it will honestly raise your temperature to a level that is very comfortable inside those ice shacks. You know, kind of going off a basic concept of, you know, hot air rises and cold air sinks. You get all that hot air
that
up
makes
in the top
sense.
Where your head is, and it traps all that up in there. And it's, like I said, can be very comfortable in your shelter, even when it's, you know, very cold outside, like a day like today. You know, we're going to be heading up to the Delaney Buttes tomorrow, and it'll be pretty cold up there. But once you get that shelter set up with that heater, it'll be, you know, a gloves off and even sometimes jacket off kind of a thing with a total level of comfort.
Good gear makes all the difference. I will tell you that.
Of anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again,
awesome. Having a good set of boots and waterproof pants and all that kind of stuff certainly is things that cannot be overlooked.
Absolutely. Now, you normally do some seminars over there on Saturdays. You doing those over the next few Saturdays?
We are going to be doing some of those over the next few Saturdays. So down here at 4 o'clock, we're going to be doing free ice fishing classes, and that'll kind of cover everything from safety.
That's today?
We're going to be doing one today as well, yes.
Okay,
so
4 o'clock.
We'll do one today. We're going to continue to do it through some other Saturdays. Certainly in the future, we encourage folks to give a ring just in case we wind up, if I'm guiding or something like that. So just make sure I'm here. But we'll certainly be going over all kinds of different ice fishing 101 stuff.
All right, that's great, Austin. Hey, man, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to be with us today, and you can reach Austin.
Just real quick, too, if you have just a second,
sure.
I just want to mention a couple of things on a couple of ice reports out there as far as safety is concerned.
Absolutely.
Wellington Lake in the past week with the wind has broken up. So Wellington is a big no-go out there right now. They've had a lot of open water. Same kind of thing with 11 Mile. Certainly have a ton of caution if you're going up there. Last night before the storm really, really hit, the entire west end of that lake broke up completely. So it went from full ice to no ice on that west end. So even with the snow, if it recapped last night, which it probably did, just be very careful out there on that ice because you're going to wind up having some very thin ice in a certain area out there. And then also, if anybody's looking for big water stuff, be very cautious because in the past week, Actually, 4 days ago, Granby was 99% open. Wolford was 75% open, and as was Williams Fork. So that stuff will start to lock down, but definitely exercise some caution because it is not safe yet.
Okay. Any waterfowl? You've been out on any waterfowl hunts lately?
I've been shooting quite a few ducks lately. You know, we got the second split opening actually today up in the northeast zone, so I'll be getting after a bunch more of that coming up. But certainly took advantage of some mountain ducks and even some stuff down in the southeast zone myself.
All right. Well, good deal. We'll get together and try to get a hunt going.
Love to wind up doing it, Scott.
All right. Again, that's Austin Parr. Discount Fishing Tackle is the store over on Santa Fe. Give Austin a call, 303-514-5546. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Steven. Steven, want to talk a little mountain lions. Steven, how are you, sir?
Good. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, listen, I catch your show sometimes after John Rush's drive radio, and I'm coming from a different perspective on this thing you guys talked about a little bit ago, and I didn't know for sure if you guys are going to talk more about this in depth coming up the following, coming weeks.
And the coming weeks we're going to be talking about it really in depth, but you're certainly welcome to voice your opinion.
Well, my opinion is I tried to hunt when I was younger, and I got around some guys, and some of my friends hunt now. But I see this example of one of the reasons why I don't hunt, and it's just one of the things where people are making decisions. And you're saying there's a study done, and I'm trying to understand the study you guys are talking about and why you can justify killing more mountain lion. And does that include bear, too, or just mountain lion?
Mountain lions and bears.
Okay, now where does this get this thing about bears killing deer? I mean, bears mostly don't do that. So why are they going to include the bears in on that?
Yeah, well, respectfully, Stephen, bears will kill a deer.
I know that they will. But my thing about the whole thing here is that what's the harvest of the deer population now? Are they giving tags out for the deer population that they would justify something like this without reducing the actual limit or tag or controlling the hunting part of that part and letting it balance out that way? Why do they want to increase? Well, I know why they want to increase, because they want to have more guys have more animals to hunt. It's more about giving it more for the hunters to hunt than it is about what's really basically good for the environment and the balancing of the animals naturally.
You know, Stephen, there's been massive reductions in deer tags over the last 5 years throughout the whole state. I think I'd heard somewhere over 20% reduction in the total number of tags sold. And so, I mean, they do need to be able to get that number back up. And so there has been a big reduction in that. And that was the first step that they took. And when they started to, they still weren't seeing the population rebounding like they had hoped. This is why this is kind of the second step. I'm sure you could find a link to that somewhere on the Division of Wildlife website and study that out for yourself. And I think we should all do that. We should all educate ourselves on that as much as we can.
Yeah, and we'll be having Bob Brochat on. He is the director of Colorado Parks and Wildlife in the next week or two, just when his schedule opens up, to have him on. I also look at, okay, what other groups are supporting this? You've got Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and I'm just going to take the time to go through these because I think it's important. You got the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is for it, Colorado Outfitters Association, Colorado Trappers and Predators Association, Colorado Youth Outdoors, Congressional Sportsman Foundation, Mule Deer Foundation, National Shooting Sports Foundation, National Wild Turkey, the Rocky Mountain Bighorn Society, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, and the Wild Sheep Foundation. So I think there's a lot of smart people in these groups and different that study and are taking different angles on this thing maybe a little bit. But when it all comes down to it, how do we get that population back to where the deer, those species are healthy again in these areas?
Well, I see your point. I see a lot of stuff with the hunting, with the family and all that stuff, but sometimes the emphasis is more on allowing their killing limits to be increased and all that. I've been around these parts my whole life, and I've known how important the hunting industry is to the environment. The economy and everything like that. But, mm-hmm. Just my thing about, all the supports you just named off is all people that want to hunt animals. They're not really people from I'm saying my aspect, they like to hike and like the wildlife watch and
right.
other things. There's a lot of organizations that probably wouldn't support this. You're picking the ones that do because they're
right.
the ones that benefit.
But
from
I will tell you this. And I think there's a big misconception sometimes that hunters hate animals. And I'm going to tell you this. And I don't know every hunter in the world, but I know every guy that I know and lady that I know that are out there hunting. You will not find bigger animal lovers in the world than hunters. Now, that may sound weird, but I'm just telling you, I mean, we have a huge, huge respect for animals and, you know, are all about an ethical kill. I mean, Henry here is a, you know, big, big into the archery thing. And boy, if there's one thing you hear a lot in the archery is an ethical shot. Right, Henry?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We work all year.
And, you know, and when you look at, we need a whole hour to go through this, but I did, you know, I've been fortunate enough to go to Africa a few times. It took some understanding of the conservation over there because the first time I went over there and the gentleman was telling me like, boy, you can get a nice zebra. There's nothing that says Africa like a zebra. To be honest with you, I looked at him and said, I don't know if I want to shoot a zebra. That's like shooting a horse. That was exactly what I said. But when I got over there and saw there were thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and then they have to manage those herds because there's only so much food. There's only so much habitat. There's only so much water. And so they said, we only take out the older, mature ones. And I was still very skeptical. So we were out there one day, and the first time I went in 2013, and there's 10 zebras out there, and the guy goes, take the third one on the left. And I did that. We walk up there, open his mouth. That zebra had one tooth on the upper right side and one tooth on the lower bottom side. So two teeth to eat and graze. So then they starve. So what's better for them? So, again, you know, we're all for management, all for making. And I truly believe this with all my heart. Colorado Parks and Wildlife, they want to make all of our species very healthy in the state, whether it's elk, sheep, antelope, mule deer, whatever, bears, whatever, you know. And so the way to try to do this, and again, I have to go on, you know, when you spend all the money they did on the studies and they've got biologists and, you know, game management people that study this, and I have to go, if they feel like this is the best way to go about this, then, you know, hey, if we look at them in 3 years from now and, boy, it just turned out horrible, then you look at them and go, well, that didn't work, you know. And last, and I'll tell you what, Mindy, we'll just blow through this last break because I've already talked too long. But one gentleman told me yesterday, and he's going to be on the show, not next week because that's Christmas, but the following week. He said the total number of lions that would be killed during this study, if everything went perfect, would be 30 more lions than would normally be just with the quota. Because I don't know if you know this, but the way the mountain lion thing works is you have the, if you're hunting with an outfitter or you as a hunter, you have to call into that management unit and find out the quota of tags. So let's say there's five in area 51. Once you kill one, you have to report that within like 48 hours, I mean, really quick.
Yes, it's very quick. Yeah.
You have to report that you took a mountain lion, and then you've got like 5 days, 6 days, something like that, to get that to Colorado Parks and Wildlife because they pull a tooth out of that the same as they do a bear. So, I mean, and then that when you call in that number again the next day, and if they said five the first day, now it says four. And when that quota is gone, it's gone. So, if you look at the big picture of this, my understanding, and I'm going by the information I'm given, if everything went in a perfect world, they're going to be taking 30 more mountain lions after this 3 or 4 year period than they would have just with the normal quota. So it's not like they're telling everybody in every unit in Colorado, if you see a mountain lion, shoot it. Okay? It's not that at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to kind of go over this with me because I speak from the other side.
And you know what, man?
I have respect for people that do hunt because there's some good people out there that I know from my friends and stuff that hunt good and are ethical. But there's also some out there that when they go goose hunting or whatever, they kill over the limit. They fill their truck fulls of all kinds of geese, and you say to themselves, when's enough enough? I mean, it's like they just don't have any – there's just good guys and bad guys on both sides, and I think what happens, you guys got to do the best you can to kind of get that, you know, control on your side where you guys can kind of – because I don't think you're for that at all myself.
No, absolutely not.
I think there's just enough of that where, you know, it just makes a bad thing on everybody, but
it does.
I appreciate you kind of kind of get me up to speed. I'm looking forward to kind of getting into a little bit more and reading up more about the study and exactly what's going to be happening with this. And then I'll keep in touch with this too. Cause like I said, I don't hunt, but I listen to your program because sometimes I like to see what, you know, what you guys are talking about and how, you know, and I do see a lot of times, especially from you when you talk about being ethical and stuff like that. I just sense that from you and some of your guests. So, you know, I'm not an anti-hunter for that per se, but I am a person who cares about the environment with aspects to the natural animals and stuff kind of, you know, fitting together in this little package we have. And trying to maintain it with all this growth we're having. It's losing their habitat and everything else on top of it.
Sure. And this is the way, if other groups would do like you're doing right now, Stephen, and just talk. Yep. You know, we're all human beings. We're all just, hey, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe. And even though we may not agree on everything, there's still ways that you can have a civil conversation to understand each other's thoughts and walk away. Hey, I'm going to respect the way you think, and you respect mine, and hey, we'll go on and help each other any way we can.
All right, Scott. And I might call back again and talk to you again sometime.
So I hope you do. You're always welcome.
And, all right, buddy. And you have a good Christmas. Merry Christmas, and take care.
Merry Christmas to you and your family as well. Henry, we've got about 2 minutes, but I'm telling you, I think this is really what it's really all about, is just having a forum that people can talk. Hey, share your thought. Hey, if you're not a hunter, that's fine, but don't crucify us because we are, right?
I completely agree. You know, and I mean, the fact is, the burden of wildlife management is carried by us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are the ones who are supporting this through our dollars, and it's a matter of, you know, our dollars, you know, we paid our $40 or $50 for a deer tag, and Stacy was able to take a real nice deer and fill our freezer with it. And that's a fantastic investment. It's a great management tool.
Right. Well, Stacy, thank you for coming in.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
Kind of took up more time with other things.
That's fine.
But, yeah, you are always welcome. And you can make all of us feel bad for you killing a deer and us not being able to. It was great to have you in. And Kyle, buddy, a couple more years, you'll be out there doing it.
Yep.
It'll be pretty cool. All right. So I hear you're a Dallas Cowboy fan.
How about them Cowboys?
Looking forward. That's going to be a good game tomorrow. Hopefully our Broncos will play well. And just again, want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. Hope everyone has a very safe Christmas season. And boy, be careful out there. It's still very, very cold. Roads are still pretty slick, so be careful out there. Henry, thanks for bringing the family in.
Hey, thanks for having us, Scott.
Appreciate it. And for Austin Parr, Discount Fishing Tackle, again, if you want to book a trip with Austin, you will not be disappointed. 303-514-5546. International Sportsman's Expo, January 12th through the 15th. Be listening during the week on Haystack Help Radio from noon to 1 right here on KLZ 560. We'll be giving away some tickets there. For all the group here in studio, have a great day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.